bag over head means bag the head coach. Let's do a fun run through a team schedule this year, and I think this will be a fun podcast. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Plantation Palms Golf Club and Brandon Legal Group. Give me a minute, because they pay for the podcast since you don't have to. Plantation Palms Golf Club will host Todd Wright Tour 52 on Saturday, October 11th. To play in that event, which is already nearly sold out, you have to email me directly for those tee times at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Any other day that you would like to play at Plantation Palms, you can book your tee time at plantationpalms.net. They also have upgraded facilities on the mini golf for you to enjoy with the family, a lighted driving range, whether you are in need of that early morning before going out on the championship course, or you'd like to get on that at night, especially after we fall back with the time change later this year. Mulligan's Pub has quality food and beverage and service, whether it is around whatever you are doing outside, or you can just go to Plantation Palms Golf Club, park your car for free, and walk into Mulligan's Pub and enjoy food and or beverage. There's no requirement to play golf of any kind. Again, plantationpalms.net for more information. It is always a pleasure to work with Plantation Palms Golf Club and Jesse Pratt on my golf tournaments. Brandon Legal Group will be playing in Todd Wright Tour 52. They are a longtime supporter of these podcasts as well. They hope you never need legal assistance, but if you are in the greater Tampa Bay area and you find yourself in need, they can offer you a free consultation on whether or not they can help. Big thunderstorm going on right now outside my condo, so that's what you hear. Free consultation at 813-902-3576 or visit brandonlegalgroup.com. Full service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. I'm going to enjoy a sip of water before digging in for this podcast. Much as Sheriff Grady Judd would say on one of his fun Facebook posts about morning coffee, if you have a beverage, please enjoy yours as I enjoy mine. Here we go. Don't get excited. It's only water. The New Orleans Saints, hang with me here. The New Orleans Saints approach the 2025 season and not much is expected. Hard Rock Bet has their win total at 6.5. The under on that 6.5 is a whopping -275. So it's almost a 3-1 favorite if you're betting the Saints win 6 games or less. There are some teams that have lower win totals according to the gambling experts. But the fact that the Saints are a -275 at the time of this broadcast, August 25th, 3 p.m. Eastern time, at under 6.5 is very telling. So John McKay, one of my favorites, when he finally won in 1977 with the Bucks after 26 straight losses back in the era of the 14-game NFL regular season, John McKay's Buccaneers pounded the New Orleans Saints in the Superdome. As a result of that win, the Saints fired head coach Hank Stram. He never coached again. an appendix to that, the Bucks came home, then beat the St. Louis Cardinals. The Cardinals fired Eric Coryell. Coryell then did become the head coach of the Chargers the next year. But after 26 straight losses to start their franchise history, John McKay's Bucks won two games and got both coaches fired. Hank Stram in New Orleans, Eric Coryell with the St. Louis Cardinals. I think something similar could happen this year with the 2025 New Orleans Saints. That I'll make the case now. Any team they lose to might have a new head coach next year. There could be extenuating circumstances that throw that off, where they have a win against a team that's playing with a backup quarterback unexpectedly, and because of that, it's an aberration, and they don't fire their head coach before next year. Short of that, I'm going to try to make the case. Every time you see the Saints win this year, that head coach they beat is in trouble in terms of their job for 2026. The Saints don't have much going for them. At the three most important spots for a pro football team, you have a head coach with no previous head coaching experience. That doesn't mean he's automatically bad. There are a lot of examples over the last 10 years of head coaches with no head coaching experience winning playoff games in their first stint as a head coach. But we have nothing to go on that Kellen Moore is going to be one of those. He comes to a team that had more salary cap hell than anybody else and inherits a quarterback situation that's as bad or worse than anybody else. And did it get better or not? Because that's the next question mark at a key spot. As of the time of this broadcast, 3 p.m. Eastern time on August 25th, Kellen Moore just said, "We're getting close to naming our QB1. That ain't good. When you're getting close to naming your starter, and it's August 25th, not a good sign. Doesn't appear he has much to choose from. Could be wrong. Certainly doesn't look that way. And at defensive coordinator, the Saints have the guy I call the stooge. The guy who failed so bad as head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers in recent years. And not only was he a failure because he was a head coach with a defensive background, who are all failing to get teams to the Super Bowl in the modern era, his defense is stunk. It wasn't just that he knew nothing about offense. He was horrible with game management. And overall, set a bad atmosphere with the Chargers. His defense is stunk. And he had pieces to work with. Now, when he was a coordinator with the Rams, prior to becoming head coach with the Chargers, his defenses were good. He also had Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. This just in, He doesn't have guys like that in New Orleans. There's nothing about the Saints personnel-wise that stands out. I can't look at their defense overall and see something really good. I can't look at their offense overall and see something really good. Alvin Kamara is a good football player. Is he someone who has or can lead the Saints to become a playoff contender? No. He's not that player. That offensive line isn't going to help. The inability to prevent defenses from marking Alvin Kamara will not help. So there's very little good going on here that justifies that Hard Rock Bet has the Saints under 6.5 wins as a nearly 3-1 choice. So that all said, could the 2025 Saints be the coach killers that the late season 77 Buccaneers were? That any team they beat this year has a different head coach next year. And it's directly or somewhat directly tied to the fact that that team lost to the Saints. Ready? Let's walk through their schedule. Opening game, they are a significant near-touchdown home dog to the Cardinals, who aren't exactly an elite blue-blood National Football League franchise. But if the Saints can somehow pull off a week one home upset, they are at home, and Kellen Moore will have had weeks to prepare. Brandon Staley, weeks to prepare for Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison and James Conner and trade Trey, I don't score TDs, McBride. If the Cardinals face plant and treat the season opener kind of like they did their last ever playoff game in LA. I think Staley was the defensive coordinator for that game. Right around that time. I can make the case the Cardinals will be well on their way to dismissing Jonathan Gannon and probably the entire frickin' staff before we get to 2026. Week two, Saints host 49ers. 49ers aren't what they were, but healthy, they're still better than the Saints. Healthy, they're still a team that can win the division. Should be healthy in week two. Saints will be an underdog at home to the 49ers. And if the 49ers lose this game, I think we all can see a scenario where if the Niners fail this year, that what has been a good run, not great, but a good run of a couple Super Bowl appearances, multiple NFC Championship games by Kyle Shanahan comes to a mutual parting of the ways with John Lynch. A loss to the Saints could be connected to that. Week three, Saints go to Seattle to play the Seahawks. Some feel the Seahawks have the best defense in the NFL. Pre-flop season, some feel that Seahawks defense is going to be the best in the NFL. If it is, what the hell are the Saints going to do in week three against it. Yeah. Not a lot of range of outcomes, in my opinion, on that game. And you could tell me that Sam Darnold is starting or Jalen Milroe is starting, and it doesn't change my mind. Week four, Saints go to Buffalo. And this is the outlier. If by then, for some reason, Josh Allen is hurt, then we have that scenario where it's the Saints drawing a backup quarterback and strange things can happen. On the surface right now, a month in advance, can we all agree Saints will be a double-digit underdog at Buffalo? That all said, I'm of the opinion, at what point does Bill's ownership convince management that Sean McDermott is wasting Josh Allen? A loss at home to the Saints would look really bad. But McDermott also is one of two head coaches who in an NFL game lost to Urban Meyer. Week five, Saints at home to Giants. Do I need to remind any of you that Brian Daboll is on a short leash and is probably fortunate that he still has a job as head coach of the Giants? Same with the general manager. So if the Saints, whoever their quarterback will be week five, this would be a fun one. Name me the two starting quarterbacks in the week five game no one watches between the Saints and the Giants. You got any combination here of Rattler versus Russell, Shuck versus Russell, Rattler versus Dart, Shuck versus Dart, and then you can even go down a little further, pending injury or otherwise. Week six, Saints host Patriots. Patriots just did fire their head coach, Jared Mayo, after 1 year. I actually, sadly, recently looked up to see if Jared Mayo had a job. It doesn't appear so. He's being compensated nicely not to coach. Should never have been the head coach in the first place. Was a bad idea. Mike Vrabel, I think most of you by now know how I feel about him, and it goes against how most people feel about him. I don't think Vrabel will be successful in New England. A loss to the Saints in week six would amuse me. It really would. At least Kellen Moore's an offensive coach. Mike Vrabel is defense. That's about all more this matchup has going for the Saints, other than the Saints are at home. Week seven, Saints at Bears. Moore and Ben Johnson both know a lot about offense, but Ben's got a lot more to work with in Chicago. Granted, he has expectations on a franchise with a bad losing history. But Saints ain't going to win that game. Saints host Buccaneers, first of two times the Saints play the Bucs, on October 26th. In recent years, the Saints have given the Bucs some problems as a division opponent. I will say there is an outcome out there where if the Bucs disappoint, don't win the division, don't make the playoffs, and there's some discontent and the defense falls off even further, and maybe your offense is good and you're going to lose another OC, what are you doing here? And there's a mutual parting of the ways between the Glazers and Todd Bowles, who's older than you think. The Bucks should beat the Saints twice this year. If not, keep an eye on Todd Bowles. Because if the Bucks are going to lose a game to the Saints, they're going to lose some other games as well. Saints at Rams. No. Not many outcomes there where the Saints win that game. Hard to see them being within a touchdown in a game like that, even with some questions around the Rams pre-flop. Saints at Panthers. Okay, so same thing like the Bucks. They're going to play twice. If the Saints beat the Panthers, am I telling you that Canales is out? I like Dave Canales, but who does he work for? Yeah, that guy. That guy could fire Dave Canales at any point. And you know what? Dave Canales would be fine. And I think there are some people around that owner who are going to do all they can, maybe Dan Morgan's one of them, to say, you're gonna have to be patient here. Because there are times where if you fire the coach again too quickly, the job becomes toxic and nobody wants it. And some will say it already became that. And the only reason why Canales took the job was because he had a pre-existing relationship with Dan Morgan, the general manager, from their days in Seattle. Another division opponent is next. After the bye, it's the Falcons. And yeah, if the Falcons fail to win the division again this year, if the Bucs win the division again, that means the Falcons have underachieved again. Presumably with, they threw hundreds of millions of dollars at the quarterback position and a top draft pick and Bijan Robinson and Drake London and a lot of free agents a couple years ago on defense. At that point, the Raheem Morris clown show is over. And he lives the rest of his life as a coordinator where he does a good job. Head coaching material, not what you're looking for to win a Super Bowl. Saints are at the Dolphins on November 30th. Easy to say Mike McDaniel won't be coaching the Dolphins in 2026. I know Stephen Ross extended his contract at one point early last year, but McDaniel's on a very short leash. Coach Kuhl doesn't seem to be the right fit. Doesn't seem to have new cards to play. Other than bringing in Bobby Slowick to help Tua and him see things in the passing game that they may not otherwise see. What's really changed here? Wild scenario. Ollie Gordon saves Mike McDaniel's job. With some help from Anthony Weaver, who wasn't bad in year one. But if the Saints beat the Dolphins around that time, if Coach Kuhl is still there, who's to say Coach Kuhl finishes the season? Then Saints at Buccaneers, December 7th. We've already talked about that. Saints host Panthers, December 14th. We've already talked about that. So two other unique opponents before Saints host Falcons, and we've already touched on that. Jets at Saints, December 21st. I don't think Aaron Glenn will be one and done with the Jets. I don't think the Jets will be very good. It's easy to say that every year about the Jets because since Super Bowl III, every year, The Jets usually aren't very good. Aaron Glenn lost me when, on the first day on the job as head coach of the Saints, he said he wouldn't be calling defensive plays, which is one of the main reasons why you got the job in the first place. Big mistake. Big. Huge. Hope you know the movie. Late season Saints win against the Jets. If the Jets by then only have 2 or 3 years and are just a mess, and it's pretty clear Aaron Glenn doesn't know what he's doing, maybe one and done. And then there's a Titans game right after Christmas, and there are already a number of people who feel the Titans head coach will be out this season, even if Cam Ward plays well. So if the Saints beat the Titans, ironically, second to last game of the season, it could mirror exactly McKay's Bucks beating the Saints. And that's it for Callahan in Nashville. And then the Titans go out and try to find a new head coach who can take Cam Ward from there. Last game is against the Falcons. We've already talked about Raheem. So that's how I'm going to watch the 2025 Saints, with very low expectations, and that anytime they win a game, I'm going to put their head coach on alert that he won't be back next year. Enjoy watching the Saints that year, because there isn't a lot of reason to watch them at this point. Maybe the joke's on all of us. I'll end this podcast with this, because I've talked about it before. Have you heard recently Granddad Manning saying, "Oh, I never said Arch has to stay in Austin the next 2 years"? Since we did that podcast, they're not connected. Granddad Arch has backed off that there's no scenario where Arch Manning would leave college after 2025. If the Saints are as bad as many think they are, and clearly have no franchise quarterback, whether they finish with the worst record or the second worst record or the third worst record or the fourth worst record. Yeah. You could see something being put together here. Where the Saints are in a position and the Manning family is in a position to get Arch to New Orleans for 2026. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Brandon Legal Group and Plantation Palms Golf Club. My email is wright.todd@yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Toddcast is over 350 episodes now. I promise we'll get to 400. After that, no promises. Thanks for listening.